It's time to get in the ring and start running the ropes.
What hurts most are my feelings. Eric, you cussed at me.
Step inside as the guys talk about all the happenings going on within the WWE.
I am the best wrestler in the world.
TNA.
Not trash talk.
I know your stuff. Wayne.
EY.
Wayne,
EY.
Your name.
EY.
Okay, look. This is for Fred's eye.
Oh. Ring of Honor.
Hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing?
In the NorCal independent scene.
Fan-friggin-tastic. We're back here again.
Oh, you're back.
And now live from the RTR studio in the San Francisco Bay Area.
What are you watering?
Hot.
It's Running the Ropes right here on the Unchained Wrestling Network.
Lots of what?
Hot. I'm not getting rid of it.
Are you kidding? That shit's great for my glaucoma.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Running the Ropes right here on the Unchained Wrestling Network. Brian Maverick Bertrand with you once again, and with me each and every week, the one, the only, Mr. Chris Kelly from HeadlocksToHeadlines.com. Crowley, what's up?
I think I should call this show, and like this kind of an inside joke, it'll be RTR 2.0 for this week, just for this week only. It's
yeah.
RTR 2.0.
I want to address that. Okay, first off, let me just say, I was in studio yesterday, to do this. We had the show going. It felt like it was going to be good. I was confident about it, but there were equipment issues. Apparently, and I'll tell you the rundown, because I like to pull the curtain back. I don't like kayfabe so much in radio.
Hashtag kayfabe, damn you.
but apparently... and Chris, you might understand this more than our audience would. We have a mixer board. We have a full-fledged mixer board. No BS about it. It works. It's very good and everything. But there's something that has to be connected to the computer for us to do like our online streaming and all that from the board. Now, I know what it is. I can't find that cord that connects to the computer. So we're going to take a look at it. Hopefully by next week we'll have it up and running. But as far as that goes, it's going to be really hard for us to do online streaming without it. So we're going to keep you guys informed on that. And it's going to be really good. But today, however, we have a lot of stuff. We have very, very big news. If you haven't looked at the wrestling news sites lately, very big news. I'm excited. It's gonna be awesome. We're gonna have Maria Kanellis on the show today. It's gonna be sweet. She's awesome. She's sexy. I just saw her Playboy spread last night, and all that good stuff. So,
Rick, breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out.
Let's just say, I've been very, very looking forward to announcing what I'm going to be announcing because I'm so happy.
Do I know about this news or not?
We will, but you know what the news is, Chris. You follow it, so let's go ahead and get into a little bit of this.
And now it's time for the news of the week, brought by Chris Kelly and HeadlocksToHeadlines.
Is it big news?
Oh, hold on. Let me turn you down real quick, Chris. I'm sorry. Hold on. There we go. Go ahead.
I said, is the big news that RTR forgot to re-sign your contract and they've given me a pay rise?
No.
Damn it.
Nice try.
We're going in. I think the biggest news that comes out this week was the fact that Vince Russo, you know, the people that the person that people call Darth Vader?
Yes.
Has left TNA Wrestling.
Yes! Oh, thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus!
It was announced on Twitter by Diddy Carter that two sides had split up and parted ways, and Dixie even wished him the best in his future endeavors. Now, I wonder,
Jesus!
Somewhere, I wonder if Vince McMahon's flipping legal team are running around going, do we own that phrase, you're fired? Do we? Can we sue TNA for that?
Do we own Future Endeavors? I mean, what's up here?
Well, they did trademark the term Mr. Future Endeavored.
That's true.
So yes, Vince Twitter is gone, and Dave Langana will be head writer with Matt Conway.
That guy's got talent.
Yeah, that I mean, guy's if got you guys have not talent. Seen King, is it King Rinka King? What it's called?
Rinka King, yeah.
That's a fantastic project.
Really?
I mean, they have a better like stage than the Impact Zone.
Either way, I'm just so freaking happy that the most hated man, and it's nothing against Vince Russo. He just sucks at his job. I'm sorry. It's true.
But to counteract you.
But Vince Russo, he does have his good moments.
Well, like I said, his counteract you. Vince Russo was booking during the Attitude Era, which people describe as the golden era of wrestling.
That's true. That's very true. And I'm not dogging that. Like I said, he does have his moments. But this is Vince Russo, the guy who single-handedly came into WCW and destroyed it. In a very bad way.
I wouldn't say he single-handedly destroyed it. I think that would be the network that destroyed it, because they don't want to wrestle on their network.
Well, kayfabe-wise, he destroyed it, so.
Yeah, but okay. Here's for example, okay. Uh-huh. Say if Unchained were like, you know what, we no longer want wrestling this show on our network, and just slowly but surely like cut away our funds and cut away our promotion, right?
As if we have funds.
No, I'm saying, right? If they cut away like our plugs and that shit, right? Our thing was the show would slowly die. And no matter how great the content is, the show would die because there's no backing behind it.
Yeah.
So to say that Vince Russo single-handedly killed WCW is a bit understatement. I mean, don't forget guys like Bischoff were there. Wrestlers that had creative control over their characters.
Yeah, that's
were there.
True. But I mean, it was the catalyst. Let's just admit that. Let me finish. Like I said, he did have his good moments. He had his bad and very bad moments. Viagra on a pole, really? And in TNA, even, he had a lot. He had his good moments, but a lot of bad moments. I distinctly remember Sting versus Abyss in what I'm guessing was a casket match or something, and it turned out to be really bad. So, yeah.
But now, okay, what will the Impact Wrestling haters find a bitch about? I mean, there's no...
You TNA haters should now start watching TNA, because the main guy, you people, you TNA haters, I'm calling you out personally. The guy that you people bitch about each and every time someone brings up TNA, I don't want TNA anymore, Vince Russo's there. You guys can suck it, because he's not there anymore, and David Lagana is, so...
Don't worry, they'll start running about something, I don't know, the color of the ring's not the right color, the lights are too bright.
It was better when it was six sides, man.
The only thing that they can moan about, sometimes it is the poor storylines, but are the fans. The flipping plants that I despise and wish would go away.
Yeah, that's the plants that need to go. I agree with that. Audience plants should be deemed forbidden in professional wrestling.
But I don't think the plants were there at Against the Lord. I couldn't see them.
Really?
I don't think they were. I don't think they do pay-per-views. I'm not quite sure.
Do you think they were on the other side of the hard camera?
No, because they're usually on the hard camera side.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and move on. The music's still going, so let's go.
Well, what else do we have? So, Vince has been fired. WrestleMania is heading to New York plus New Jersey, which I'm guessing means that WrestleMania 30 will not be in Madison Square Garden.
No, because they're probably if it's New York, New Jersey, it's going to be in Giant Stadium.
Well, it's in MetLife Stadium, wherever that is.
Yeah, that's where the Giants play, the New York Giants and New York Jets.
Right, but what I'm saying is it'd be a bit asinine to have WrestleMania 29 and 30 in the same area.
It's been done before.
But not back-to-back years.
It's been done before.
When?
Well, it kind of did it in the early days. like WrestleMania 1 was at Madison Square Garden, and of course WrestleMania 2 had like three locations, and one of those I believe was Trump Plaza. No, Trump Plaza was no, that's New York. Yeah, Trump Towers, Trump Plaza. I mean, that was in New York. So yeah, feast.
So yeah, what else we have? Randy Orton.
Oh no, sorry. It was Madison Square Garden.
Cool. Randy Orton suffered a concussion on Raw. It was a bit where he went to hit the RKO on Big Show and hit it, but kind of fell awkwardly. And he will miss the Chamber. Now, what I found funny was, you know, WWE, right? They hate dirt sheets, right? They hate spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
Yet on .com, they post spoilers. I mean, because, like, big, like, advert on the side. Santino will now enter the Chamber. And it even gave away how he won the match.
Oh, wow.
To it, I'm like, face palm. So, I mean, that's funny. So, I mean, don't be shocked if tonight's SmackDown, or last night's SmackDown, gets a pretty low rating, because they ruined the main event. But, and this is something that I've noticed, ever since Daniel Bryan won the world title, the ratings have gone up. The ratings have been a 2-point whatever. When the world champion was Randy Orton, it was a 1.9, 1.8. But with Daniel Bryan, it's been a 2.0.
Well, see, the reason behind that is basically because we've seen Randy Orton with the world title. We've seen him with a belt around his waist. You know, we've seen too much of that because of the whole thing. And I blame his storyline with John Cena more than anything. Because remember, they fought each other week after week after week after week after month after pay-per-view and all that shit. So it's not surprising that they would go in and have him drop the belt to someone that's new, someone that's fresh, someone with more talent than he does. And don't get me wrong, Orton, for a guy that came up straight from OVW to WWE, he has a lot of talent.
I'm actually there. I mean, for me, Orton is one-dimensional. He cannot get out of that character. They even turn him into a damn snake.
Right.
Like literally a snake. For me, he is one dimensional. He is as one dimensional as John Cena. I mean, I know Cena gets heat for having five moves of doom, but look at Orton. Orton has like 5-6 moves.
That's true, but when it comes down to the big matches, like of course his matches with Triple H, or, you know, some of his bigger match, more hyped up matches, I think he'd still be able to hold his own. There's a possibility that it won't, but I don't know.
No, I like I said, Orton to me is just like so blah. I mean, he's just so. I mean, recently, he'd wrestled Ray Barrett about 10 times in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus Christ. What else we have?
Get something new. This is a bit funny. That's what I don't like about a lot of stuff going on with WWE. Like, the reason why I had them be the most, the one of the people I want to see improve their storyline for, which of course will never happen, is the fact, and it all comes down to the fact that WWE has major repetition issues. They've always had it, and it's sad because they can make a good product. They have the ability to make a great product out of what they're doing. The problem is they do reruns.
It's funny, on Twitter there's a spoof account for WWE Creative. And it goes, and it tweeted, now because we have a Regan, Daniel Bryan as world champion, we feel like we can reuse everything, including storylines.
Wait, say that again?
I said, WWE Creative, like a spoof account, put up a tweet saying, now we have a Regan, in brackets, Daniel Bryan, we can reuse everything, including storylines.
Oh, okay.
This is just a funny spoof account. Now, here's a weird thing. Now, if I had you come up with a good name for Chris Hero, what would you say?
Oh, wow. For Chris Hero. That depends on if he's still going to wear his Ring of Honor attire, which I doubt.
Well, his pictures on the SCW website look like he's wearing his old Ring of Honor gear.
Oh.
So Mav, hit for you. I'm giving you the book. Come up with a good name, a good cutting edge name for him.
A good cutting edge name for him. Trying to find him on here. I don't see him on here.
Don't cheat.
I'm not going to cheat. I don't know. Okay, I really don't know. This.
Cassius Ohno.
Cassius Ohno.
Cassius Ohno.
Okay. So here's the logic I can only think of for this. And this is something I could only think about. So they're watching the old Spartacus movie, right?
Yes.
So Cassius, no. I was thinking Crassus for a second. That was one of the characters from there.
No, I know how they got his last name. Crito was like, you know what? I want some creative decision in this.
You know,
and when they go Cassius, he's like, oh no. And Vince goes, you know what? That's a great idea, Cassius. Oh no, your name. And he's like, no.
Oh wow. You won't believe who I just found on FCW's website.
Who's that?
The son, and this is great NorCal talent. 6'1", 264 pounds, the son of Chris Christopherson, Big Country Jody Christopherson.
Now, how so they glad. Given him the most...
And, speaking of Jody Christopherson, I was at APW last night doing a screen test because, you know... like to put myself out there. And they were talking about it. And I was watching the match. The last part, I think, of what's going to be this week's episode of Gym Wars. And he's on there saying he'll be, you know, at the show, he announced he was going to WWE. That's when they first broke it. And a lot of them made a lot. You could see his dad in the crowd and all that. It was pretty cool. They named him Garrett Dillon.
Garrett Dillon.
Garrett Dillon. So, and there's a lot of like inside jokes about it, which made me laugh. Because I see exactly where they're coming from on that. A lot of the APW guys are like, remember when Garrett Dillon gave three spears to this guy to win the match. Like, oh no, wait, that was Jody. It was great. But yeah, he's Jody Christopherson's new name in Florida Championship Wrestling will be Garrett Dillon. Because apparently Christopherson is too long of a name.
I dislike FCW. but we don't have all day. Now here's my last bit of news. Apparently, Alberto Del Rio is disliked backstage. Apparently, people think that he's egotistical, and that he carries himself the wrong way. Well, when you give a guy a push like they have, that guy will get an ego.
Yeah,
right?
You guys push him up like a Mexican Miz. And you sit. Oh wow! I just found Cassius Ohno on the website.
Oh no!
It's just spelled oh no. Anyway, where was I? Yeah, you bring him up like Mexican Miz. You give him his own personal ring announcer. You let him come into the arena with fancy ass cars, and you don't expect him to carry an ego about him, really? Like,
really?
Yeah, exactly. Like, are you Like, I get professionalism. I understand professionalism. I understand the ethics and all that, and I'm all for it. But it's not his fault that you guys are it's not his fault that he's becoming an a-hole, a total D-bag about it, because you people made him this way. Don't get that wrong.
It's funny, because I read that both Miz and Del Rio are in a bit of heat. And it's funny because Del Rio did an interview where he said that he hated The Miz because The Miz is a guy that belongs on the real world. Now, Miz, he got pushed to the moon, and now he's got a bang tidy girlfriend. I can see why he has a big ego for. I mean, if I went home each night to Maurice, my ego would be massive. I mean, I could drop every day of the week to every wrestler on the roster, right?
Yeah.
But Maurice could make it better.
Yeah, you could be a jobber. You could be busted up, no problem. But as long as you come home to Maurice, hey,
I mean,
you're Rip Rowan to go.
I mean, there are girls who, I mean, girls like Maurice, girls like Maria, who I don't care if I job every night of my career and never win a match on TV. If they're at home, I don't care.
Right.
But the guys like Mike Bennett, who's the boyfriend of Maria, who kicks ass, so he gets the best of both worlds. So do you have any more news of the week?
You know, I don't think so. I think you covered it all.
Good time, good time. Now, do we jump into Raw or Against All Odds?
Let's go ahead and jump into TNA Against All Odds 2012.
Well, I guess what it was, they opened up with Zemo Ion taking on Jason Orton. This was a good match until there was a spot where Ion did a moonsault. See, it's not an outside moonsault, it's just a new moonsault. And both his knees end up going down on the skull of Sorensen. And you could tell as soon as he hit the floor, he was out of it. I mean,
horrible.
It was a sick spot. It was like that there is literal high burn. Oh, crash and burn, sorry, higher flying. I mean, and it looked bad. Like straight away, the referee put up the X sign, and it just looked terrible. And from what I understand, he's gonna be out for a year.
A year? Wow. Yeah, he. You know, I'm not surprised. It's one of those deals where it was just poorly executed, and especially when it's high flyers like Zema Ion and all that. And I'm not a fan of Zema Ion. I'll admit that. Because I think he's polluting the air with his hairspray. But that's just me. But I think what happened was that Sorensen was just out of place, and I think he was just like one step forward too far forward, you know, and then it didn't end well for him. So, it was just bad timing. It sucked. It happens in wrestling, but damn,
yeah.
He suffered a C1 vertebrae fracture. That's not a good bone to get broken, folks.
No, and like I'm not gonna sit here and say. I mean, I don't think you can say that it was anyone's fault. It was just a freak accident.
Exactly. It was a botch. That's it.
No, it wasn't even a botch. I wouldn't even call it that because no one fucked up. It was just a simple mistake. Not like no one fucked up. It was just a. I would call it more of a free accident. I mean, when the guy did the shooting star press at the UK tapings, that was a botch. But
yeah.
I would not call this injury a botch. I would call it a mistake. But that's just me. So yes, Ion wins the match via the count out. Next up we have Robbie E with Robbie T taking on Shannon Moore. First thought, please bring back Cookie. I dislike Welsh wrestlers. And there's a joke behind that, but I'm pretty sure you can tell what it
is. No, I know the joke. And for long-time listeners of the show, I think they get the joke
well.
Too. Because that's funny right there.
And Robbie E wins. It was a good match. Shannon Moore looked decent on it, but I'm not quite sure what they have planned for Shannon Moore since JT Neal went away. But yeah, good match. Good. I mean, the thing with the TV title is kind of being lost in the shuffle. I mean, it's not being pushed. I mean, Eric Young had it, and Eric Young's a great wrestler and a funny guy, but he's not being used.
Yeah,
so
that's what
I'm
I
not quite
that's
sure
what I
they
despise.
Got.
Like, it was heavily pushed when Eric Young
yeah.
had it, but then now, since he lost it, it's like, are you going to do anything with it now? Are you actually going to defend it? Are you actually going to use it for something? What's up here? That's why I felt bad when they took out the TV title in WCW, because that was a pretty good push title for a while, you know. They had, you know, in WCW they would defend it in best out of seven match between Chris Benoit and Booker T. That was an amazing series, you know. But now it's like. We don't see that with TNA now. I mean,
I would like to see WWE bring back kind of a TV title. if not the old Cruiserweight, because they are having a Cruiserweight show on the network, and they're talking about bringing in people like Tajiri and that stuff. So that, I mean, that could be fantastic.
Oh, bring it back to Tajiri. Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, because his promotion in Japan failed. It collapsed.
What was his promotion again?
Oh, Smash. It was Smash.
Smash. Okay, that we were talking about that last night too. Like, we weren't sure what that was. The one ended a couple months ago, right?
No, it's ending next week or something like that. Some show.
Okay.
So yeah, Robbie E wins the belt. Next up, Robbie E retains the belt. I lie. Tara versus Gail Kim. Now, for people that think women can't work, watch this match. You have two veterans, two women that can wrestle their ass off, and they did that. I mean, it made the girls in WWE look like green, like anything that can't wrestle. I mean, take the most literal thing that cannot wrestle, and that's what Tara and Gail Kim made the girls look like in WWE. Great match, and the crowd were in for it, which is surprising for the Impact Zone, but the crowd were in for it. Great match, and Gail Kim
was
good
too. I'll tell you what, she is a sexy cougar.
Who, Tara?
Yeah.
And she's 42 years old, and she looks fantastic. Cougar. I mean, when you see her next to Brooke Adams, you're like, I could die right now. I could die right now, and I'd be happy.
Have
they are that
there
stunning.
On me? I would. Hell yeah. And I don't mind. Hey, you know what? I don't mind it.
And as you know, I've met both Brooke Adams and Tara. Tara was smashed, and Brooke Adams wanted my picture. And Tara was unable to take the picture because she was too busy laughing. next up, we have a tag team match. We have Magnus and Samoa Joe taking on Matt Morgan and the Giant Crate Wrestler. Good match, and your winners, Sir Magnus and Samoa Joe. Now, the thing that I dislike
about
Giant
Crate Wrestler is that Crimson.
Yeah. If you don't think that he looks like a Giant Crate Wrestler, you're blind. And the fact that he's dating Angelina Love also makes me hate him. So yeah, Magnus and Joe are fantastic. Like I said, the thing that I dislike about the crowd in the Impact Zone, they cannot cheer wrestlers for absolutely love nor money. I mean, go back and watch the TV tapings. The UK crowd were like the biggest... smarkiest crowd that I've ever seen. They were treating Joe like he was treated back when he was in ROH. They were going batshit crazy for him, and I loved it. And you could tell that Joe loved it. And it might be depressing for the wrestlers to wrestle in front of like 10,000 strong in the UK and then go back to Orlando.
Yeah, that's what the sad thing is. Like, TNA knows they have great fans in the UK. They love the TNA over there in your area. But they don't take the initiative and say, why don't we just move office and then come to the US every now and then? We'll still do the show. We'll still have our show. But the fans love us more in the UK, so we'll tape in the UK.
What they should do is
the US crowd will understand.
Or do what they did for India, right? Where they hire a bunch... Because there are quite a few good British wrestlers, right?
Mm.
So, hire a few British wrestlers. Bring over a few TNA talent. Because, to be fair, the money it would cost to move everyone from America to England would be a bit dear.
Yeah.
So just do what they did. And just tape like a few series over here. Because... And, like, hell, why not even do a pay-per-view? Yeah, it wouldn't do... great in America, like the buy rate wouldn't do great, but look at it. TNA do what, about 500 buy rate mm-hmm. for pay per views.
Mm-hmm.
They could probably make up what they lose on buy rates in live attendance, because they can get like if they picked a big enough arena, right, in the right part of England, they could get about 20,000 people in that arena.
Yeah,
plus merch sales, so they could easily make up what they lose on lack of TV buys.
Well, see, I'm trying to think. They could do that here, too. Problem is, they don't go on the road.
No, because Bischoff thinks that it costs too much money. Despite the fact that
WCW almost failed because they were stuck in the Disney MGM studios in L.A., mind you, about 2,000... 2,500 miles away from their studios in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, that, I mean, that almost killed WCW. So you know what they did? They took it on the road. We saw a ring above a swimming pool, for God's sakes. And I loved it. I absolutely loved the idea of having a giant 15 foot by 15. I don't think it's 15 feet. But a giant wrestling ring hovering above a swimming pool. And to see wrestlers get clotheslined over the railing into the swimming pool was epic.
Yeah, but if we did it nowadays, you know the fans would bitch, and I'm bored of fans bitching. So yeah,
Samoa Joe, Magnus won the thing up on the, up above the pool now, man. Dude, it was a pool. Now, I don't care. That was great. That was good shit right there.
Here we have arguably match of the night. Actually, versus Austin Aries. Did you get a chance to watch this match?
Not yet.
Man, you have to.
Like, I have it downloaded. Goddammit. I was just, before we started recording. I was literally about to watch it.
Or buy the pay per view. Or here in England, it's free.
I could buy it legally, and download it legally. I'm pleading the fifth right now. I know.
Okay. This match was fantastic. In a way, it kind of reminded me of Taker Triple H for Mania, where like they kicked out of each other's finishes. But it tells a story, and I know people will say it's a spot fest, but I don't care. Wrestling in theory is one giant spot fest. To be fair,
that's true. Any catch as catch can wrestling match is another series of spot fests. I hope people realize that.
Yeah, wrestling is one giant spot fest. I mean,
yeah.
So it was a good match, and Austin Aries won. I'm quite surprised that TNA have not made him a world champion. He has that potential. He has that arrogant look to him. He could be a world champion, and he can carry that belt for a long time because he's a great wrestler.
He makes a great heel, and the guy's a general in the ring. He's very talented. He takes no BS from anyone. I mean, look at what he did with Bob Haskins. You know, Bob Haskins screwed up.
You mean Mark Haskins, but okay.
Matt Haskins, sorry. I never remember the name.
Mark, not Matt, Mark.
Mark. Mark Haskins. Did they change his name?
Nope.
Then I'm an idiot. Haskins screwed up on a shooting star press, almost broke his neck, and what does Austin Aries do? He lets him know he fucked up, you know. He kicks him in the face, and he gets up with an inverted STF and just pulls on it. And you know that was a shoot pull, dude. And then he goes up, and he does a brain buster on him. Oh, no, yep. It was brain buster, then the inverted STF, and then he tapped like a bitch. It was it was crazy. And I feel bad for Mark Haskins. You know, I mean, dude's already hurt. But then all of a sudden, you know, you got Austin Aries, and you're hurt in the middle of his match, and he's going to let you know about it.
Yeah, that he will humble you.
He will humble you deep, dude. let's move on.
What I'm next? I don't know. Next up, I don't know. I lie there. Next up, we have AJ versus Kaz. Good match, and Kaz wins with a fade to black. This isn't kind of linked, but it kind of is.
What?
Pardon?
No, I was now, surprised Kaz won.
The way that Kaz won was a reverse power driver, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, in ROH, they banned that move because it was done by Kevin Steen. And he's now had to...
A reverse power driver. You mean the vertebraker?
No.
No?
Like, Fade to Black. It's basically... I'm trying to think how you describe it. It's kind of different, but because in ROH they banned the power driver, right? And he's now been using the F5. At one point, wasn't the power driver actually banned in all of wrestling? Am I going crazy?
It really was. Back in the territory days, it was banned because of the potential to break someone's neck. Jerry Lawler broke Andy Kaufman's neck in the late 60s, early 70s. Actually, it might have been later than that. At the end of a match, which almost got him to pay a ton of money in fines, But now they banned it again for a while after. But they only allow like this Tombstone and all that, because Undertaker did it right. But they started banning the real pile driver and like certain variations of it because of Steve Austin's neck injury.
Yeah.
Back when he fought Owen Hart. So that makes a lot of sense that it was banned after that. So they went ahead and did that, and now it is to this day.
Well, moving on with the match, Gunnar versus Garrett Bischoff. No one cares, to be honest. Sure. I don't think anyone cares about this storyline.
I heard it was horrible, man.
No one cares. Gunnar won via DDT. Next up, we have Bully Ray, Jeff Hardy, James Storm, and Bobby Roode, with Sting being the special enforcer. The end came when the referee got squished about for the 10th time. Roode went to go grab the belt. Sting stopped him. Sting grabbed the belt, and then Roode spat in his face. And Sting went to smack Roode. Roode ducked and nailed Jeff Hardy. And then Roode's like, count, count. And then he has Sting bend down, going, Jeff, wake up. One. Jeff, wake up. Two. And people moan about it. People bitch about it. But I don't see the problem with it. I mean, it shows you that how much Sting hates Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
And at some point, it will probably lead to a match.
I mean, again, TNA haters, what the fuck? You know, the match did the job. It brought out the storyline factor of it. It kept that consistent. It was very good in terms of kayfabe, very good in terms of acting, in terms of Sting doing the Jeff wake up part. You know, I don't see any problem with this with the end of this match whatsoever. I think it was a good ending. Bullshit ending, mind you, but I think it was a good bullshit ending.
I don't even see how it's a great heel ending. You have right. You have the heel pissing off the referee, who then tries to club him, ducks, and then nails the guy that he's been trying to push up for the last few weeks, right? And this sets up a few matches that you could have, but Bobby Roode versus Sting, or somewhere down the line, Jeff Hardy Sting. The rematch that we never got.
Okay.
And I think we need that match. We need to see that match.
Now I'm
we
sorry.
Need to see
I was
Hardy Sting.
Hardy Sting. Okay. Yeah, I think so too. Although I think if they're gonna do it, they should do it at Victory Road because it is 1 year. It is a full year to the day, or to the event rather. So
yes.
I think that would make a lot of sense to have it at Victory Road.
Yeah, and they could even play off the whole they're doing a video package where it says 1 year ago, and it shows Jeff Hardy coming to the ring high, or according to RVD, the smoke made him foggy or made him act weird. And then smoke you have Jeff Hardy's like why not even fucking show clips from like dirt sheets about Jeff Hardy going to court?
Yeah, like headlines on websites and all that. Hey,
and then like
headlocks2headlines.com.
Uh-huh. And then you have flashing up, and then you have Jeff's return to TNA. You have him, his feud going through Jeff Jarrett. Then you go to the pay per view against all odds, and then you see Sting nailing Jeff, and then you have Jeff going Sting cost me my chance. And then, I mean, it's not that hard to book it, and I think Sting would put over Jeff Hardy. I do think he would. I think he honestly would. I think it would be a great way to end that little chapter. And I think the fans might bitch about it, but I think Jeff Hardy versus Sting could be a great match.
I think so too.
But yeah, I mean that ended the pay per view. Now, of course, you didn't actually see the pay per view, but I did, so I can give it a grade. I give it a B.
Yeah,
I give it a sort of B.
I'd say based on what we've talked about, I think it would be a B. Yeah.
But you need to go back and watch it.
I need to go back and watch it though. So yeah, I think so. Anyway, let's go ahead. Let's take our first break. When we get back, we're going to talk about WWE Raw and how much of an improvement that was. We'll do that, and we'll be right back right after this.
Hey Hey guys, it's the Princess of Pro Wrestling, SoCal Val, and you are listening to Running the Ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network.
Does listening to Wrestling News Live make you a smarter, more knowledgeable wrestling fan? Would the Trey Dog drink Velvet Sky's bathwater?
Well, hello there, Velvet. That is some good bathwater, baby.
Listening to Wrestling News Live does make you a smarter, more knowledgeable wrestling fan, although it will not save you any money on your car insurance.
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling,
www.audiowrestling.com,
and check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling,
keeping you tuned in
since 1996.
Some people have to learn. Some people wait their turn. Some people have to fight, yeah. Some people give their life.
Hey guys, it's your beauty queen, Miss USA / Miss Tough Enough, Rima Fakih. I just want you to all know that this is the best station in the house. I'm running the rope with the Unchained Wrestling Network, baby.
All right, welcome back to Running the Ropes. Two-time Wrestling Radio Award winner for Best News Show and Best Female Interview with, of course, Miss Rima Fakih. Hey. I was just talking to Crowley off-air about Botchamania. Of course, if you guys want to check it out, botchamania.com. Very good stuff. Very good series. Matthew, if you're listening, love you. You're awesome.
I was quite surprised that they only played one clip from the UK taping. They only played the botch Superstar Press. I mean,
bad spot, to be honest. I mean, you look at it and it was pretty devastating.
But I mean, they could have had a few. Like, it's funny because if you listen to Against All Odds, right? They play the promo where Rude cutting it in England, right? And behind it, it was that loud they could not edit it out. It was, "We want Devon."
No, there was no way they could edit it out. Because they were doing it just as they were talking too, which is funny.
And it's so funny that it was that loud that they couldn't edit it out. But hopefully they have a few more clips because it was funny as frick. And they like I said, they need to come back here more often because it's funny.
Yeah, because like I said before, they love them some UK love. You know what I mean? They got great UK fans out there. So
the only thing that upset me was I think like usually what happens here, because there's only one exit to Wembley Stadium, they could only come out the entrance ramp to get out of the stadium, and I had to leave and go get my train home. But if I lived in London, I would have hung out and met the wrestlers because you can meet them as they came out.
Right.
But like I said, I'm going to Bound for Glory. I don't care by hook or by crook, by stealing a plane, I'm going to Bound for Glory.
Now, I thought you lived in London.
I live near London. I lived about an hour and a half on the train away from London. My co-worker, Adam Brown, lives in London, and I usually go to his house.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But that night he was doing the scouts or whatever he does, so I couldn't join him there. But and also next week I meant to go meet Mick Foley again, but Adam's being a woman, and I said to him, don't worry, I'm not a fan of him. I texted him earlier going, man, you're a woman, because he won't come meet Mick Foley with me. So Adam, you suck, sir. No. But yeah, I mean, they tend to come to have good things here in London. I'm actually not going to the UK tapings in London in April. Sorry, because I'm trying to save money for America, because I prefer Bound for Glory, because it's much more fun.
That's right.
And I think everyone should join me in Bound. Like when they announce where it's going to be, everyone should just come join me and just have one giant RTR H2H pie.
That'd be cool. I think that would be fun. Although, like, I don't know if I could afford it because I'm going on a cruise this year, but we'll see.
F the cruise. I mean, am I meant to be PG? I can't remember. F the cruise and come say hello to me. That's my plan.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. So, anyways, the cruise. We got to move on here. Let's get into a little bit of this. If this would hurry up and load.
Dead air for the win.
This song
reminds me when I used to play on like WWE Shut Your Mouth, where it was. I love this song.
Did they bring that back for WWE 12? I don't know. Let's go ahead and
bit of Raw was a debate. This debate took up 15 minutes of my life that I'm never going to get back.
I agree. That was like totally not necessary.
No.
But, I mean, when you look at it, it was kind of made sense because they're all in the Elimination Chamber, but a debate? This is wrestling. You don't debate wrestling. That's what promos are for.
Yeah, I mean, I think the funniest part was actually R-Truth saying how he supports little Jimmy, and he literally thought that he was up for election. Dolph Ziggler is amazing on the mic. Did you watch this week's Z True Long Island?
No, I forgot he was still doing it.
Yep, 1 year to this day they started the show.
Love that guy.
And Dolph Ziggler cuts the most fantastic promo. He goes, thanks, kid, for the boost. You gave me the chance to fly straight to the middle with Arthur Hill, and then I lost my belt to you. Damn it.
It's true.
And then he goes, letter marks, and then he goes, did I really just say that? Really? And it cuts out again. But yeah, but Dolph Ziggler is a fantastic wrestler. And I mean, look back to when he was even with Maria. He was a fantastic heel. And to this day, I still say that, and maybe this is because I think that Maria's much hotter than Ricky, that Maria would have been better with him than Ricky, because Ricky drags all the heat away from him. Ricky is a giant heat magnet. If you could personify heat magnet, it would be Ricky Guerrero, because she just like gunders heat, which is fantastically crazy for a woman who's only been wrestling, what, 3 or 4 years? So,
yeah,
Rick. Sorry, Karen.
No, I said yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it was what it was, and it ended with Kingston laying out Jericho. Jericho then defeats Kingston in the match following a code breaker. I don't know what I despise. I despise when they call the Boston crowd the Walls of Jericho.
Yeah,
I really do.
I do too. Trust me, the Lion's Hammer was way better when he did it.
The last time that Jericho did the Lion Tamer, Ashley, for you and the listeners, and if you can tell me on the air, you win a brownie point.
I know when it was, too. I know exactly when it was. Great American, it was at The Bash.
Nope.
I know it was a pay-per-view.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
It was not.
Yes, it was, because it was at a pay-per-view. It was on the side of the ramp. Where none of the seating was,
wrong.
And it was on John Cena.
Wrong.
It was on John Cena.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. Yes, no, it freaking was, dude.
It was actually a tag team match. That gives you a hint. It was a tag team match, a six-man tag match.
So it was Jericho.
Nope.
No? Miz and Jericho?
Who was it?
It was on John Cena, goddammit. I know it was.
Okay. I mean, I can't remember who was in the match, but it involved Jericho being... it was Jericho and the Hart Dynasty taking on Crime Time and someone else, and he did the Lion Tamer on DDT, and he tapped out.
Oh, okay. What was that?
So yeah, Jericho wins that match. Next up, we see Shawn Michaels in the back, and he hugs Triple H. You know, man love, the man love that's going on there.
Well, if you remember, Triple H did give a very passionate kiss to Shawn Michaels when Shawn Michaels retired. So that could explain it right there.
Elsewhere in the back, we see Zack Ryder talking to John Cena, and Cena said that Ryder said that tonight he's going to give Eve candy and flowers, and you know, since it's Valentine's Day, well, you'll see. Next up, we have Big Show versus Orton. This is a match where Orton suffers the concussion, where Daniel Bryan comes in and smashes both wrestlers with the belt. The belt was actually, like I said earlier, suffered when he hit the RKO. So there's no heat towards Daniel Bryan. Next up, we have a fantastic promo with Shawn Michaels and Triple H. How Shawn Michaels is saying, "You're a coward. Accept the match. Accept the match." And Hunter's like, "No, it's not good for business." And it was just a great promo.
Yeah.
Overall.
I thought it was awesome.
But the thing is, does this set up at the pay-per-view where we have Triple H versus Taker with HBK as guest referee?
I could see that happening, but I'm not. I don't want to go. I don't want to speculate on that just yet. I mean, I could see it happening, considering it is Shawn Michaels and all that.
Mr. WrestleMania.
I don't like the fact that it's the third time these guys will be wrestling. The second time was enough. You know, Shawn Michaels only wrestled Undertaker twice at WrestleMania. Kane wrestled him twice at WrestleMania. I say let him get 20 wins. Let Undertaker get 20 wins. Please let him get 20 wins. Then the next year, you could take it away from him. You could give him that one loss. But, I mean... I just don't like the fact that it's repeating wrestlers.
I think it shows a fact that right now wrestling and WWE in particular cannot make big names. I mean, they had The Miz, but now he's a mid-carder.
They can't make any more big names. Yeah, they've ran out of their big name cards.
Yeah.
So
they really have. And the promo ends with Shawn Michaels walking out, and then Taker takes a really long time.
Can I just say one thing on the Shawn Michaels promo?
Go for it.
What I loved about it is that you saw the connection between Michaels and Triple H. I mean, they did a great job on interacting, and this is something that promoters try and emphasize. Interactivity, the passion for it, you know, things like that. It's really good to see them actually use what they've learned as wrestlers and apply that today when they're not active anymore. They're basically showing the rest of the roster how a promo is done. So that tells me one of two things. That either says that the wrestlers in the back are doing shit when it are sucking when it comes to promos, or it's just reminding people who they are, why they're there, and why all of a sudden Undertaker's back, and why he's challenging them, because they're great wrestlers. So, I mean, it's a major respect factor either way. And I think when this does go down, I think it'll be great for business. As far as the whole business spectrum goes, it'll be amazing for business.
I agree. Now, the thing that annoyed me, right, at the end of the promo, how long did it take Triple H to get out of the ring? He took so long to get out of the ring.
He only had one foot out on the apron by the time the promo started for Undertaker.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell that the gong could happen because it's like, damn it, I need to keep stalling. Let's try a bit more. Let's, I don't know, let's... Don't know. Let's wave to someone in the crowd.
What's happening?
Hey, guy in seat 3528. How you doing, mate?
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. He was making sure that his hair was in line, that the hard camera was in the right place. I actually saw a clip on Botchmania one time when it was when Hunter returned, the week after he returned last year, right?
Uh-huh.
And you can tell that he hadn't been like near a ring for a long time because he came out and did his little pose on the wrong side of the hard camera. His back to the hard camera. And you can see Hunter going, shit.
Whoops.
That's awesome. So yeah, take an appeal on the Tron, and like I said, that room that Taker has for stalking Triple H, that room would be a fantastic PS3 room. I mean, that's a big ass screen.
Yeah, my friend had that. My friend had a projector like that. It's pretty fun to play on a big ass screen like that.
Do you know what I want to do one day? I'm gonna rent out a cinema screen because you can,
mm-hmm.
and just play on. You can rent out a cinema screen. A fitted screen, right? And I'm going to rent that out just so I spend a few hours just playing on COD.
Yeah.
It's like, I can see you all. I see you there, miles away, camping in the corner. I kill you.
I see you in HD in the corner. You're as big as a house, man. Literally, because like you're on the big screen, man. I love that. Nope. I love technology.
Next up, we have Dolph Ziggler versus R-Truth. Now, this is bizarre. R-Truth wins clean with a roll-up.
An R-Truth match where he wins clean?
Yeah. What's up with that?
What happened? What was this?
Well,
I don't understand.
If you guys watch The Tour on Long Island, I think you got this joke. He was too busy thinking of Princess Layla.
There you go.
In the back, we see Black Rider, and he's talking to Santino.
Black Rider, is that what you call them?
Huh?
You call them Black Rider.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, Zack Rider in the back. Zack, Z-A-C-K. That's all good.
You're good.
Yeah, good. I'm just making sure I don't get racial on this page because that's not my idea. Tamina versus, Tamina Snooker. We have to emphasize Snooker, apparently.
I did drop a slave name joke last night, too. It was funny.
Taking on Tamina. No, sorry. Tamina. No, she's not wrestling herself. Tamina.
No, on another wrestler, but go ahead.
Okay, Tamina taking on Brie Bella. Guess who won? Guess who actually won?
That one I did watch. I watched Raw, most of Raw last week.
If you think Brie Bella won, I'm going to have to wish you the best thing you've ever.
That was Tamina, Snooka.
Yep.
With, by the way, the Snooka Splash. I hope one day she comes out to her dad's theme song.
Super, super, super fly. So yeah, Tamina wins. In the back, we see Kane, and Kane decides that he wants to have a date with Eve. So he grabs her.
Why is it that Kane is all of a sudden the scary sexual predator in the back?
Well, bear in mind, he did once kidnap Lita.
Yeah, exactly. He's a sexual predator. First,
and he did once kidnap Kelly for a bit.
Yeah, but first it was...
Katie Rick.
No. First it was Lita. then it was Kelly. Maria. Then it was Kelly. Now it's Eve. He is a sexual predator.
That's not PG.
No, that's PG. He's a sexual predator.
I mean, is that why he wears the big metal mask? That's not part of his gimmick. That is part of his
That's just part of his predator mask. That's his predator mask.
That led to take on two levels as well. So
that makes sense.
Kane kidnaps Eve. Well, tries to, but apparently those animals don't have locks on them because Eve jumps out after being rescued by John Cena.
Like, a sexual predator would kidnap his victim and then do it. That's a Law and Order episode.
Now, I got hit on Twitter for this. Now, tell me if I'm wrong, but Eve and fucking Cena's acting was terrible. It just felt awkward. It felt that whole thing felt awkward. I just didn't feel it. It just felt really awkward to me. Am I alone in this?
Say that again. I was
Eve and Cena feeling like that whole segment felt to me awkward. They're making out.
It did. It felt really random. Like, And I was on Sports Tonight Live on the Slam promoting the show, and they said
for about 2 minutes, my ad.
Yeah, really, completely unrelated to what I'm about to say, but like, it's like they said, okay, just do something, just don't go down on him, just, you know, just do anything. Remember, we're PG. So she makes out with him,
and then Zack Ryder's there in his wheelchair, being upset. Now, the thing is, right, and like I said, on Twitter, I got hit for this, but what is the payoff for Eve kind of turning heel on Ryder? Will Eve become John Cena's manager? Will Eve now find a new victim? What is the payoff for this?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't get it.
Especially since he's tagging with Kelly Kelly, apparently. So I mean, it doesn't make sense for her to turn heel. At least not now. Wait until after WrestleMania, but whatever.
Next up, we have The Miz versus CM Punk. CM Punk wins with the Anaconda Vice. Nice to see him break that out. Then Jericho is seen walking backstage. And then we see Kane, and he realizes that he no longer kidnapped Eve, so he's coming back. Seems in the ring. Out comes Ryder. Ryder said, "Are you serious, bro? You saw my girlfriend. I thought we were broskied." Cena got slapped by Ryder. Ryder got back up in his wheelchair. And then was sent flying by Kane to end Raw in a sick ass bump.
Yeah. Don't sell the fact that you're injured, by the way. Just walk out of the chair, get in the ring, kind of sell it, you know, grimace your face a little bit, but don't sell it. Don't sell it completely.
And then he went flying off the stage. It was funny on Z to Long Island, because he made reference to that. He goes, "I'm now in bed, and now I'm not..." No, and he goes, "I'm used to filming myself in bed, but usually not for YouTube." And then in the bottom of it, flashes up, "Leverage on Layla."
Yeah.
If you don't follow the joke on Z to Long Island, he said that he was dating Princess Layla from Star Wars.
He's dating and Carrie Fisher.
No, it was a joke.
No, I know, but I mean, he's dating Carrie Fisher, who's like old enough to be his mom.
Yes, yes, yes. And then Dolph Ziggler stole his girlfriend and also his HDMI cable. I think during the break we might actually have to play Z True Long Island, because it was funny as hell. But we'll see.
I think so too.
Might have to. Plus, it gives the guys five minutes more of content, and it also gives me time to go grab some water. But overall, it was a great Raw for once. I give it a B.
I do too. I thought it was a great show. I mean, it was a great go home show for them. A little bit better than what they did. It's not A quality material, but it's a good B quality material. So I think for Elimination Chamber, this is going to be good. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens on Sunday. It's going to be great. So anyway,
I actually have one more news article that I forgot earlier.
Okay.
Now, for the last few weeks, though, I've been talking to a former TNA knockout who is known as Chelsea, aka Allison Skipper.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes to me, "Yeah, I'd love to do an interview, but I've got some impactful news coming." I was like, "Don't tell me about TNA." I tuned into Spike last night. Guess who I see? Dead Center of the Ring.
You guys have Spike out there? Spike TV? I thought you guys had it on another channel.
We do, but I was watching it on an American website, I guess.
Okay, gotcha.
So it was funny that I was like, "Are you serious, bro?" To quote that Ryder. I was like, "Okay, I get it.
Awesome.
You've been impactful. I get the joke. Damn you." But she looked hot.
She did. She really did. So anyway, let's go ahead. Let's take our second, maybe our last break. When we get back, we will have one Miss Maria Kanellis on the show. My favorite Playboy Playmate, by the way. We'll be right back after this.
In the beginning, back in 1955, man didn't know about a rock and roll show.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
It's me, it's the D-O-double-G, the Road Dog, Jesse James, and you're listening to Running the Ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Suck it.
Hey, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Have you checked out the new Unplugged on Friday nights? Well, if you haven't, make sure you check out the new Unplugged Friday nights with JJ Sexay at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Mountain Standard Time, where JJ covers SmackDown, video games, and whatever the hell else he feels like. See you in chat.
Voices in my head, they counsel me, they understand, they talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
Does listening to Wrestling News Live make you a smarter, more knowledgeable wrestling fan? Would the Trey Dog drink Velvet Sky's bathwater?
Well, hello there, Velvet. That is some good bathwater, baby.
Listening to Wrestling News Live does make you a smarter, more knowledgeable wrestling fan, although it will not save you any money on your car insurance.
What's up, all you stars and studs? I am former WWE Diva Maria, and I am now the current First Lady of Ring of Honor. And you're listening to Running the Ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network.
Alrighty, guys, welcome back to Running the Ropes exclusively here on the Unchained Wrestling Network. Brian Maverick Bertram with Chris Kelly from HeadlocksToHeadlines.com, and with us on the phone line, the one, the only, Miss Maria Kanellis. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic.
Awesome, awesome. So, we haven't seen you on, like, on TV for a while. Not necessarily WWE or anything, but, you know. But what happened? Where are you now?
Well, I think you guys already know I'm the First Lady of Ring of Honor, so I'm doing that. I'm also running a ladies division of wrestling down in Nashville for Crossfire Wrestling. Other than that, I've been working on AfterBuzz TV, which is Maria Menounos' network, as a host, which is a lot of fun. I talk about Monday Night Raw. I have my first wrestling match back next week against Tara. I'm very excited about that. And just really beating the pavement and going to auditions.
That is awesome. So I guess the first major thing you did mention, you're the First Lady of Ring of Honor and the Crossfire promotion. What was the transition like for you going from the big stage WWE to go to Ring of Honor? Has anything really changed much or stayed the same?
You know, it's nice over at Ring of Honor because it's a completely different type of crowd. I mean, The fans there have been fans for, I believe, 10 years now. Ring of Honor has been around. And, you know, so the fan base there is just incredible. It's so great to be in front of them. Working with my boyfriend, the Prodigy Mike Bennett, has also been amazing for us, amazing for our relationship because we get to travel together. But I have a lot of say of, you know, what I want to do and where I want to be. And I love that they welcomed me with open arms.
So I agree with that. I think that one thing about wrestling relationships has always been a burden of was the travel issue. Do you think that has there been any hardships while traveling, or was it always just the same since you're basically on the same page with Mike Bennett?
Yeah, you know what? We don't have any travel problems together. We travel so easy together. We're on the same schedule. We like going to the gym at the same time. We love to, you know, we're both hungry at the same time, although he eats probably about 10 times as much as I do. But other than that, we're always on the same page with everything. We like staying at the same type of hotels. It's a very easy thing. Completely different than my past wrestling relationship.
Now, you mentioned before you're working with the women's division for Crossfire Wrestling. Since you're doing that, have you had any thoughts on the current women's division on the mainstream or something
sure.
that should be seen?
I think that it's a complete disrespect to a girl with talent to give her a gimmick that's a farting gimmick. I mean,
yes.
How disrespectful can you be? It's a nine heart. Come on. Like, she's incredible in the ring. It's disrespectful to her. It's disrespectful to her family. And I cannot even believe that they went there. It really says something to how WWE feels about their women's division. And what I'm doing down in Crossfire is completely different. These girls go out there and they put on incredible matches. I'm bringing in some of the best girls from around the country and even around the world eventually. And they're able to wrestle. They're able to go out there and do the characters that they've been doing for years and years and not give them some weird gimmick that has nothing to do with the history and the family history that is Natty Neidhart.
I agree. I had a very unpleasant feeling seeing that going on TV, let alone the fact that you're right, she is a Neidhart. She is someone that, you know, has history and all that. Or legacy, rather. And to see that get put on there it was a disgusting play on WWE's part. I agree.
You know, it's funny because, like, it doesn't matter what kind of history or past you have with someone's family. It doesn't matter. It's a business at the end of the day. And I don't care what my personal feelings may be towards one girl or another. If it's going to put on a great show and a great match down at Crossfire Wrestling or any other wrestling company that I become a part of, guess what? I will have them there. I will put personal feelings aside. It's a business at the end of the day. And I think that it's just so insulting.
I think so too. I mean, there's a certain amount of dignity that goes in professional wrestling and a lot, many promoters know that even though I think many promoters know that even though it may seem good for business, dignity wise, that can't happen. And
no, it can't. And it might have been hilarious on a guy.
Yeah.
Give it to Santino. Give it to some guy that's funny and an up and comer that can come back from that. I'm a lady, and I know most ladies, we don't talk about farting or pooping or anything like that in our own personal. We might say funny jokes about it, but that just doesn't go into, hey, my family is a wrestling family.
Yeah, a serious wrestling family. It's not just not like the Orton family where you have one serious wrestler who's Randy Orton, and then you have Cowboy Bob Orton, who's still selling a wrist injury for about 25 years. You know, it's none of that stuff going on. This is a serious wrestling background with serious wrestling roots and great talent involved in that entire Hart family. So I agree with that. Chris, did you want to ask something?
Yeah, I did. Now, in your opinion, why do you think that the biggest, like TNA and WWE, both have a down view on women's wrestling? I mean, for years now, WWE has put women's wrestling on the back burner. Well, TNA kind of does it from time to time. Why do you think both companies just have like a down opinion on women's wrestling?
Because I think that it's the people in charge. Mm-hmm. And that's why I love doing what I'm doing down at Crossfire Wrestling, because I have a say. And because I have people that are around me that understand what women's wrestling was meant to be. And when it was started in the 1930s and 40s, it was something that people had on their show because a lot of the men that went over to sea to fight in the wars, there was only women left. So that's why women were brought there. It was to entertain. And sure, it wasn't, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of promotions out there that had just women's wrestling, but it was seen as something extremely classy, something that was a night out. And now it's just turned into this thing of like, oh, girls don't know what they're doing. And I guarantee you that when they look at the ratings and they're like, oh, well, the girls are getting higher ratings, they go, oh, no, that can't happen. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's such an egotistical thing to not allow the women to have their spotlight and to have their shine. At the end of the day, if it's better for the show, then what does it matter?
And there was a time where after the war, where there were still some female promotions that actually grew big. Of course, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling back in the 70s and 80s, you know, that was big. And then when WWE started doing it with Wendi Richter and Cyndi Lauper, or Wendi Richter and Alundra Blaze later on, and, you know, stuff like that.
That women's wrestling. Rock and wrestling was all about the women that came in. Yeah. Sure, there was guys involved, but Cyndi Lauper made this huge crossover between the two. And I worked with her, and we talked about it, and she's so thankful for wrestling for that. So why does it get put on a back burner now? And I just think that there's not enough creative people out there. There's too much of an ego. Like, allow it to happen, because you never know. And, like, my other theory is on it is, like, okay, so what? Girls go out there and they put on a couple of bad matches every now and again. Every single guy does as well. Like, if you give them more time, if you give them more of an opportunity, they're going to get better and better. I know that from personal experience.
And it really sucks because some of the women they put out there now, and I've seen it way more with WWE more so than TNA, because at least TNA would get women from indie promotions first and foremost. You know, a lot of WWE's female talent, especially the ones today, like Alicia Fox, for example, they don't have enough of the training aspect. They're not.
I don't even know if it's so much of the training. I think they haven't had enough matches.
That might be it too.
I know that I'm scared to death going into my match next weekend because I've trained, but I haven't had a match in almost 2 years now. And so, like, that part freaks me out. And I think that's what happens with a lot of the girls. You have to have match after match, night after night, to be able to feel a crowd, to be able to feel your opponent, to know what's going on. And if you're not given that opportunity and you're just training all the time, training doesn't do anything.
No.
Like, training, you work your ass off at training. Who knows what's going to happen out there when you've got adrenaline on a crowd and the other person's in the ring and they've got adrenaline and the crowd, you know?
Yeah.
Training's great, but actually getting in there and doing it, that's what really matters.
Do you think that it's probably, they're probably being called up too early for the from FCW now to the mainstream? Because I mean, with the way especially with the way that Alicia Fox kind of did that awful botch with Beth Phoenix, there you go. Do you think it could be something that could be a factor in it too, being called up too early?
I don't know if it's being called up too early or if it's just a combination. You know, it always was that you would have your person that you would work with on the road week after week, night after night, and you would get a feel for it. And then you'd put it on TV. And I think that's not happening on the road. Like, I think they're having completely different matches on the road than they are on TV. And so then you never have that real opportunity to get in there and try things out. Like, for me, watching Candace and Beth work every single night, week after week, it was no surprise they had great matches on TV. Because they were on the road working night after night, four matches a weekend. Like, it was crazy. But then once they got to TV, they knew what they were doing. So I don't think it's necessarily being called up too early. I think that it's not utilizing the house shows that they do have.
Right. I agree completely.
I mean, you're right, because, like, the guys wrestled, like the same match week in, week out. For example, Kofi Kingston wrestled Chris Jericho every night this past week. Yet whenever the girls are on the house shows, they're doing dance-offs. And how does that help you learn how to wrestle? At all?
They did not. Did they really have a dance off?
It's happened.
Last month when they were in Madison Square Garden. Yeah, they had a dance off.
Oh boy.
Yeah, really.
I mean, okay, for me, I'm not the greatest wrestler in the world. I know that. I'm not. But I always get asked my opinion on, you know, girls wrestling and stuff, because I can come from it from the perspective as a person that is willing to put that stuff together. And now that I'm running the division down in for Crossfire Wrestling, like, I have a completely different perspective on it. I've always had an appreciation for ladies wrestling. And, like, I think that that's probably the biggest thing that I can contribute to it, is the fact that I do know it. I do know what sells. Even though I might not be the greatest in the ring, sometimes the greatest ones in the ring need to stay in the ring, and sometimes the ones that are not so great, they can give a great opinion of what should be happening out there.
That's why I say, those who can't, book. So.
Those who can't book, or they become commentators, or yes, they become JRs, or they become the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, or, you
or
know,
Jim Cornette,
become,
even. You're in Ring of Honor. Jim Cornette would be a perfect example of that.
Or Jim Cornette.
He doesn't, and
I see it all the time.
Yeah, he's my personal dream to work with someone like that, but I know he wouldn't want to put up with me. So but like he doesn't wrestle, he doesn't do none of that, but he's got the best mind when it comes to professional wrestling out of any wrestler, producer, booker, anyone out there. He's got the best mind for the business. And I personally am jealous of all of you guys at Ring of Honor for working with him, because damn it, I want to work with him.
It's funny because I have worked under some of the greats. I mean, I've worked under Paul Heyman. I've worked under Jim Cornette now twice at OVW, and now here. I've worked under Vince McMahon. It's insane. I mean, just because of the time that I got into wrestling, there was such a transition during that time that I was, you know, I was being trained by Lance Storm, and then all of a sudden it's Al Snow, and then, you know, it's crazy.
That is awesome.
You know, like earlier, you brought up the fact that you don't think that you're too great in the ring. I disagree. I think, like, when you're wrestling week in, week out with the E, you were getting better, and I would arguably say that you were the most improved diva of 2010. In fact, didn't you win Diva of the Year for that year?
I did, yeah. It was a confidence thing too. Like, you'll see it when a guy all of a sudden gets his confidence in the ring. All of a sudden, his work is 10 times better. Does he work any better? Does he know any more moves? No, he's just confident. And I think that my confidence was really building when I was working week in and week out.
Yeah, and I think what it is, and I've said this before, the fans knew who you were because you were on TV week in, week out wrestling. There are girls on TV nowadays that I'd rather not watch wrestle. A certain blonde diva that I dislike strongly, who can't wrestle.
yes, me too. Yes,
two twins.
I don't mind if we bash. Hey, it's all gravy for me.
No,
it makes good radio.
I am trying to stay away from that.
But I mean, I loved your in-ring work. I loved your work with Santino, with Dolph Ziggler. And I've said it before on this show, I think if given the right time, you and Dolph could have been a fantastic heel couple, because he is fantastic on the mic, and you're fantastic in general. So,
exactly.
Well, in
time, that would
work. I loved working with Dolph. We were having a really good time. I'm so proud of him for coming out into his own. I wish that they would give him that premier spotlight, because I truly believe he's the next Shawn Michaels. Like, I think that he is that good.
Yes. Oh, yes. And he's got the chops for it, too. That's what makes it great. So, anyway, let's go ahead. You can catch Ring of Honor tonight in Cincinnati, Ohio, at the Cincinnati Masonic Center. March 3rd of TV taping in Baltimore, Maryland, at the Dew Burns Arena. Also, the 10-year anniversary for Ring of Honor is going to take place in New York City at the Manhattan.
Now, that show you must watch.
At the Hammer.
This is one thing I say about Ring of Honor, right? Their pay-per-views are so cheaper than WWE's. So even if it has poor wrestling, I say in brackets, it's still better than watching the E.
That's true.
I mean, like, if I said right now, how would you sell the product to the WWE fans, Maria? How would you sell the pay-per-view to the fans?
To the pay-per-view? That Ring of Honor Wrestling is the best wrestling show out there. Our main focus is wrestling. We have the greatest talent in the world. Insane matches, things that you've never seen before. The guys put their bodies on the lines week in and week out, and you're going to see it on the pay-per-view, because that, to us, the pay-per-views are the big deal. That's where you see the guys bust out stuff you've never saw before. And the first pay-per-view that I worked on, there were things that I seen these guys do that I was just in awe. Part of the time, I was just trying to get the hell out of the way. I mean, Jay Lethal, Mike Bennett, and El Generico put on a hell of a three-way match. And I'm so proud to be a part of a company that focuses on wrestling and focuses on the roots of where wrestling began.
And the question is, do you think at some point we will see you in the ring? Because I want to see you have one last run in the ring.
Well, right now, there isn't a women's division on Ring of Honor. You know, it's yes.
Make one.
And
make one.
What?
Make one.
You never know. I've got my hands full managing Mike right now.
That is awesome.
It is true.
Now, one thing I remember hearing on WWE TV before was that you made some, if not all of your wrestling outfits. Are you still doing that today?
It's so funny because last night I was putting together an outfit for next weekend. It's green and it is awesome. And Mike just sat there watching me, so it's all together. And he was saying, really? And so I do. I still sew. I still want to have my own clothing line someday. Just some things have to get put on the back burner to get some of my real, real big projects going.
I can make a suggestion.
Yes.
Now, I know highspots.com sells a lot of wrestling attire. I think they could do a women's wrestling attire and make a big like fashion line out of your product, I think.
Well,
I can see
you.
It happen.
I appreciate that. That will happen at some point. Maybe when I don't fit into the spandex so well anymore. But as of right now, I just make them for myself.
That is awesome.
I think to be fair, you could be wrestling for the next like 10 years because you're in shape, you're young, you're talented, you got passion, you got desire, unlike some people in wrestling nowadays. And I personally think that you've got a bright future in wrestling, and especially in ROH.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I totally agree. Now, I was wanting to ask. Oh no, I'm out of
questions.
I got a brain fart.
He forgot.
I got a brain fart.
I think he was going to ask about your like how you came to do Playboy, because that's what he was talking about before the show.
Playboy, I got asked originally to do when I was 19 years old, and I wasn't really doing anything major. And I turned it down. And they came back to me when I was 25. I asked my sister if she minded if I did it. She didn't mind. And so I did it. And it was amazing. Great experience.
I remember in another interview you had back, at, I think just after you did it, that it was, you called it as one of the better highlights of your career. Well, I wouldn't say career, but I mean like one of the fun things to do just in general. Is that still hold today, or is there anything else that has topped that lately?
Oh, well, you know, there's been a bunch of things that have topped it. I mean, winning the Diva of the Year, that was great. Doing the Playboy Mania match at WrestleMania was amazing. And that was right after the Playboy came out. Coming out that first night for Ring of Honor was amazing. Like being able to be in front of a completely different fan base, and at the Hammerstein Ballroom, which is one of my favorite places in the world to perform. Beyond that, working on Celebrity Apprentice, I mean, there's been so many great memories.
I thought the Celebrity Apprentice thing was one of my favorite moments. Seeing you on there was, and especially working with Donald Trump and your team for that, it was great. I forgot the other teams in that one too. I want to go to the Facebook question now. Yusuf Tarek asks, which wrestler did you love the most? In terms
of wrestler that I worked, or
I guess he means work with the most. Like who did you like to work with the most?
Either Victoria or Beth Phoenix, and then Michelle McCool at the end. See, there's like segments in my life. There's first Victoria, then Beth Phoenix, then Michelle McCool.
Oh, there you go.
I got a question on the email asking, how come you never won the women's title? Because you were there for so long, you wrestled your butt off, yet never
Maybe
got the women's title.
Maybe he should ask Vince that.
Yeah. And speaking of that, was there anything that led to a sudden, like, release? Because we never really heard anything about the release until I'm guessing a while after the fact.
Well, you know, when it came to me being released, I was starting to do a lot of outside projects. I started doing my music and music video, and I was starting to go on auditions and, you know, starting to see a world outside of WWE. Not that I didn't still love wrestling. I still love wrestling, but, you know, you got to plan for the future eventually. One day if I have babies, I certainly don't want to be on the road 300 days out of the year. That doesn't work. And you got to start thinking about those things in advance. And, like, so for me, I started looking. WWE didn't like that, and so they released me.
That's kind of weird, because the music thing could have taken off so well. I mean, the video you were in was very well done, I think.
Thank you very much.
And not a lot of people gave that credit, but it was cool because it actually made it onto MTV for a while. It was literally on MTV, and that's like the spot to have it on. So it was really good.
Thank you very much.
Do you think if you were to work musically with a fellow singing wrestler, who would it be? Would it be like Christy Hemme or Mickey James?
Wrestler?
Yeah, a singing wrestler.
I don't know. Because our styles are also different.
I could see it. An Elvis tribute. You and Honky Tonk Man.
Awesome. Be Honky Tonk Man. That's it. Yep.
Book it.
Yeah. Make it happen. Charlene Cena asks, what do you think? Oh, actually, we talked about that already. Farhan Rahman actually asks, who's the biggest a-hole metaphorically in wrestling, do you think?
Damn it.
Me. I don't know.
Everyone, I'm sure, was nice, but, like, do you think anyone you've worked with came off as, like, the biggest just total a-hole or d-bag in the locker room?
I think that for a while it was Randy, but I mean, I don't know him anymore, so I can't really say.
I can understand it was Randy, because I remember the whole duffel bag incident being reported.
Yes.
And it's funny because I actually expected you to say JBL, but then again, he's probably on his own world. Yeah, that is gonna do it for the Facebook questions, I think. Chris, do you have any more email? Oh, sorry.
Hello?
Hello? Are you still there?
Hello. Yep, I'm okay. Here.
Chris, did you have any more email questions?
I got tons of emails just saying how awesome you looked at pay-per-view. Like, literally, I got about 10 emails asking, like, saying how hot you looked on that show.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I am very excited about my new attire that I've been making for Ring of Honor. It's been a lot of fun because I feel like a superhero, and I've always thought that wrestlers were superheroes. It was the real life superheroes.
Have you made any outfits for any other wrestler or for? I'm sure with Crossfire, have you made any other attire with them?
No, I haven't, but I think I'm going to start trying to make Mike's attire. So if
there
he starts
go.
Coming out with feathers and sparkles, that's definitely something I made.
And some of it has to be pink, too, because then that's when we'll know.
Oh, no, that's his favorite color. His
oh, there
favorite
you go.
Color is pink. Yeah.
So that works.
Just like when Dolph started to wear your glove. Like, Dolph like wore your glove for about a year.
Now Dolph wears my vest. And you know, Dolph loves to wear the things that I used to wear. So it's kind of funny.
I still feel like Dolph's a down
to. If I were to give a description, I think Dolph would be next Shawn Michaels. I think that Mike would end up being the next Edge. I think Punk is the Stone Cold. I think, let's see, who else is out there? I don't know the next Rock, though. Who's the next Rock?
Oh, wow.
The Miz would be.
The Miz was, but...
Ooh, The Miz.
The Miz, yeah.
But that's a stretch now.
No, because I say that because he's like The Rock. He has his catchphrase. He's okay in the ring, and the fans like to boo him and cheer him. So The Miz, possibly.
But
see, I would think more of a and I know you guys aren't going to agree with me on this, but I think Sheamus in 5 years.
Oh no! Oh, I love Sheamus.
You know, maybe that could be a possibility. If not the next Rock, he could be definitely the next Batista.
No, without
the ego.
Don't even. No.
Well, that's big man wrestling. A lot like Scott Hall. I think Sheamus is a lot like Scott Hall.
Yeah,
big,
something like
bad,
that.
Like they kick your ass.
All right. Well.
Well, the big time, the big muscular wrestler. Not exactly like, of course, Batista, because no one likes Batista. But in terms of like the big man gimmick, he has the chops to talk on the mic, and yet he'll still come out and he'll destroy you. And he has done that lately with Jinder Mahal. So I think he's the next big thing in terms of that.
I think if from the next Batista, that's Mason Ryan. Because he is Batista
Mason Ryan,
too.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Now you mentioned Dolph Ziggler earlier. What do you think about him and talking and suddenly going with Vicky Guerrero all of a sudden? It seems like Vicky Guerrero is getting more attention than all the divas.
You know, I think when he drops Vicky is when he's going to actually be given that major push.
But, he needs it.
So I hate to cut you guys off, but I have to get to the gym, and I have my wonderful boyfriend looking at me going, hey, are we going? And so,
sorry, Mike.
We need to...
No problem.
So he is here. So we're going to head off to the gym before it gets too late, but it was nice talking to you guys.
No problem. Thank you very much. Real quick, to let everyone know, Cincinnati, Ohio tonight is a house show for Ring of Honor. March 3rd in Baltimore, Maryland at the Dew Burns Arena for TV taping. And the 10th anniversary show for the iPay-per-view is going to be at the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City, New York.
New York City! And I will be at every pay-per-view and every TV.
That is awesome. Any Facebook or anything you want to promote real quick before we let you go?
Facebook is Official Maria Kanellis, and my Twitter is Maria L. Kanellis. And if you want to watch videos of me and Mike Bennett together, you can go to Prodigy Superstar.
All righty. Thank you very much, Maria. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was the beautiful Maria Kanellis on Running the Ropes. Very cool. I thought that was fun. Good 30 minutes, too. I was happy.
She's a class. Like I said, back in 2010, she was a great wrestler. And I think WWE dropped the ball because she could be part of WWE music. She could be part of WWE film. But now it's gaining of ROH. They now have her on the roster.
Yeah, and I thought that was – I think now that – we have an idea on what happened, you know, because we were never really given any explanation as to why she was gone from WWE until now. Like, we knew the music, we knew the stuff like that, but we never exactly thought it was a big problem with that. So, I mean, hey, we'll see what happens for that. Anyways, that's going to do it for us this week. Next week, we are going to... Do we have any more interviews? I forget.
Yes, we do.
Yes,
we do.
We do. Okay, so next week we will have another interview with... who was it again? I forgot. Who did I book?
You forgot who it was.
I forgot who I booked. What am I doing? Where's my calendar at? Chris, help me out. I know I told you.
Yes, you do. TNA star, Shawn Hernandez.
That's right. Sorry. I completely had a big brain fart again. I apologize.
I'll be sure. And be sure to follow us on Twitter.
Supermax Hernandez is going to be on the show. You can follow us on Twitter, RTR Maverick, no K at the end because that's just how I roll, and H2H Crelly on Twitter. It's going to be fun. Check out Unchained WWE on Facebook. You'll find me. You'll find Derek Ellis, WWE columnist, and all that good stuff. I want to say, bottom of my heart, from a two-time Wrestling Radio Award winner, thank you for joining us today on Running the Ropes. We'll see you later, everybody. 3, 2, 1. You better live to the
This has been a presentation of Running the Ropes, exclusively on the Unchained Wrestling Network at unchained-wwe.com. The views expressed in this podcast are those of the panel and not of the network or its affiliates.